AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV.
ABC News, I'm Ariel Reshev. The U.S. Geological Survey now reporting a 6.3 earthquake in Turkey, hitting a province devastated by the deadly quake earlier this month. An unannounced visit to Ukraine for President Biden, nearly a year after the Russian invasion. While there, he discussed with Ukrainian leader Zelensky how the U.S. views war crimes evidence against Russia.
Pulling people out of apartments and being shelled, and literally what I think is war crimes.
The president travels to Poland tomorrow. ABC's Inez de la Quatara is there.
I think we're going to see Biden try to rally support, rally NATO support for Ukraine. He's going to talk about how this is not just about freedom for Ukraine. It's also about democracy at large. We heard a little bit about that today. And he's also going to talk about NATO unity. He's going to tout how NATO is stronger and more united than ever.
Mr. Biden will also meet with leaders of 9 NATO nations while in Poland. This is ABC News. Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is in New York City today ahead of a possible White House run.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis claims police in his state have more public support than they do in places like Chicago and here in New York City, in part because of ideological beliefs.
The reason why you have what you have in some of these other jurisdictions is because they're putting woke ideology ahead of your safety.
DeSantis told a police group on Staten Island he's proud of Florida's record of limiting discussion in public schools on race, gender, and sexual orientation. New York City Mayor Eric Adams skipped the DeSantis visit, but tweeted a welcome, saying, "We're happy to teach you something about values while you're here." Sherry Preston, ABC News, New York.
Following in Twitter's footsteps, Instagram and Facebook users are going to have to pay to become verified. That announcement now from the parent company Meta. You'll need to upload a government ID to qualify. The program rolls out this week in Australia and New Zealand, the U.S. launch expected within months. Ariel Reshef, ABC News.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Tomorrow is primary election day in Wisconsin. Voters will narrow a field of 4 state Supreme Court candidates down to 2. There's also a Republican primary for an important state Senate race in the Milwaukee area. The Brewers say they know they have their work cut out for them, getting lawmakers behind their proposed long-term agreement with the state. Governor Evers wants the state to pay for $290 million for upkeep at the Brewers Stadium for 20 years. In return, the team would agree not to leave Milwaukee.
We're looking for what the state and the district obligated itself to do a long time ago when we signed a lease, and nothing more.
That's Rick Schlesinger. He's the Brewers president of business operations. He was on WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. In sports, Giannis Antetokounmpo was in New York to get his injured right wrist looked at. The Bucks don't play again until Friday. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Don't you deserve a job you'd love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media. It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. In
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd Alba did decide to text us who's fun to get a drink with in the GOP.
Fantastic.
Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the No Sour, Ha Ha Funny Power Hour.
Yes.
And the 1 o'clock hour where we lighten things up a little bit and talk about human interest stories or facts of the day. And this day, Monday, February 20th, the second half of this hour, we are going to be talking to Rich Smith of the Over Our Head Players. Now, this was your longtime friend.
Yes.
And this is a place where you have done some theater.
Yeah, we've did a lot of shows together.
And so this is in Racine.
Yes.
And so I had never heard of this theater. So we're going to talk about it more in the half hour, but just give a little tease as far as what the theater it is and who Rich is.
Okay. I met Rich Smith at the Racine Theater Guild doing a show there. And then Rich and some friends kind of formed their own company, the Over Our Head Players. And initially we had nowhere to perform except George's Bar in Racine.
Okay.
So we did theater in the bar for a number of years, which was great because the sight lines were terrible and we had to build a little stage, and then the lights were there so they'd cut your heads off for the audience in the back. But they stuck with it and eventually then purchased this building, the 6th Street Theater, and have turned into this little powerhouse where they do the Snow Dance Festival.
Okay.
10-minute plays, all original, and they get submissions from around the world now. It's a global... They have become a global phenomenon, and I am so proud of them.
I'm so excited to hear more about him, meet him, because he's going to be in studio.
He is. He's coming in.
And to talk more about that and just the, I feel like there's something that's so powerful. I had a little bit of this when I lived in New York, of meeting people who just want to create stuff. And like, it's not about getting booked for a job. It's not about getting famous. It is just like, I have this idea, whether it's a sketch or doing improv or doing a 10-minute play, that it's like we just the compulsion to create or the compulsion to perform and finding the people who just want to do that, even when there's literally no money. Sometimes it actually costs you money.
Oh, yeah.
To do it.
This is a nonprofit. They're certainly not getting rich. They do it because they love it.
Yes. And so I'm very much looking forward to that conversation coming up at 1:30. And in the next segment, a little on this day in history, the historical event that inspired one of my favorite women's sports movies.
Oh yeah, it's a
of
good
all
film.
Time.
Yep.
And so and has a Wisconsin connection. So we will talk about that in the next segment. But today is President's Day. It's one of those holidays that I kind of, unless you have it off, I think you kind of forget. Like, you could have told me it was not President's Day, and unless I was a big shopper that was like, oh yeah, there's a bunch of sales.
Go buy sheets.
I think Mike actually said that to me. He's like, oh, there's President's Day, so we should look at for stuff for the house and see if they're going to get anything. But it is, it's a holiday that I feel like I don't think about. And I forget that the origin of this holiday was celebrating George Washington's birthday, which that is on February 22nd. And then in 1971, the holiday was moved to always be the third Monday of February. And now it always falls in between Abraham Lincoln's birthday and George Washington's birthday. And we get some of us get another 3-day weekend out of it. But it's interesting because this is on the Bulwark, Lindsay Chervinsky. Point that she makes, which I had never thought of until reading it this morning, is that in a republic, instead of the monarchy, it's weird that we celebrate presidents' birthdays.
That's true.
And like, it's like, because it came from celebrating the king's birthday. Like, that was a holiday. I don't know if it's still a holiday, but like, that was like in the turn of the revolution and us becoming an independent country. That was a holiday that you celebrated the king's birthday. And so the fact that, and she makes the argument at the end, which I would agree with, is in that should we not, if we're going to have holidays, federally recognized holidays, honoring presidents, should it not be for the things that they did versus the day of their birth? And I would say I totally agree with
yes,
that.
Yes, that makes complete sense. Absolutely.
As far as like, oh, like, let's celebrate the Emancipation Proclamation and get that day off of work or whatever we do to celebrate versus you were born.
Well done.
And you didn't really have a lot of say in that. And it doesn't really have anything to do with, unless you're really into horoscopes, who you became as a person. And so I don't know if that's going to change. I have imagined there's a lot of other things we would want to change before that. But I thought that was a very interesting reflection and observation of this pseudo holiday. And so, but speaking of presidents, it's one of the news of Jimmy Carter, opting to go into hospice instead of continuing care. And I don't think they have not released the diagnosis. I mean, he's 98.
Right.
So let's call it old age. It's kind of like
he's had cancer. He's had, yes, you know, he's had health issues over the last few years.
But it's kind of like when the Queen died last year and then they finally released like the cause of death and it was like old age. You're like, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Surprise.
And so he's 98, which is incredible. Right?
Longest surviving U.S. president.
And, you know, it's interesting. And he's going to receive hospice care at home in Georgia and spend his remaining time with his family. And, you know, just kind of talking about some of his, he was a peanut farmer. And then he defeated Gerald Ford in 1976, and then he had a single term marked by the energy crisis, an agreement between the historic agreement between Israel and Egypt.
Yes.
The normalization of relations with China. And then basically once he didn't win re-election, he's basically just worked as a humanitarian with his wife, Rosalind, since the 80s, since 1980.
Yes.
And he has, yes, you're right. He's had melanoma and it spread to his brain and his liver and he survived that over the last decade. But I saw this, you sent this to me as far as, I think it was in Washington Post, yes, the uncelebrity president. But even besides this WAPO write-up, even Charlie Kirk. Yes.
From Turning Point USA?
From Turning Point USA.
What?
The grown man who somehow still looks like a prepubescent, annoying teenager.
Got a weird head.
He pointed out, it's one of those things where, could you just say something nice? Because he basically was like, use the opportunity to say some, you know,
some dig.
Remark on Jimmy Carter's unaffluent life as far as continuing to be a humanitarian, live in a two-bedroom house.
That they built in 1961.
Yes, live very modestly compared to, and this is the same argument that the, or point that the Washington Post article has, of Clinton, Bush, Obama. Trump arguably was already rich.
So were the Bushes.
So were the Bushes. But certainly Clinton, the Clintons and the Obamas, as far as how much they have been able to leverage.
Write a few books, give a few speeches.
Do a couple podcasts, yep. Produce a couple documentaries, and how wealthy they've become. And I'm not, I guess to a certain extent, I'm not criticizing either, because I was thinking about this on the ride in, knowing that we were going to talk about it. And it, like, if you were in that position, Jane, do you feel like you would go one way or another? Because I have to be totally honest. If I had the position of power and notoriety to pivot after my terms, like my service in whatever presidency, or even, you know, any other kind of very, because AOC as just a congresswoman could probably be fine for the rest of her life if she just wanted to go do speaking deals,
right,
and stuff like that. Like, she's a celebrity. I gotta be totally honest, and I don't know if I would turn it down. Like, I feel like I would do the thing and be like, all right, let's make a podcast, let's make a movie, let's use this to create more stuff and then also get paid to do it, versus the very modest life that he chose to live. And I'm not saying there's one that's better or worse, but it should be commended that he was just fine living his life and doing the work that he was doing, that made a big impact on the world.
Oh my goodness. The Habitat for Humanity projects that he's worked on over the years, and he, even when he was well up in years, mm-hmm, and I think he had fallen, and there's a photo of him with this huge bruise on his face, and he's hammering away at, yeah, some habitat site. And I just think, whatever you think about his presidency and the job he performed as president, Jimmy Carter is a stellar example of a stellar human being.
Yeah, I agree with that. And he lived a really good long life.
Yes.
98.
Yes.
Nothing to squawk at. So, yeah. So I'm. It's great to be able to go out on your own terms, so that he's made this choice. And I'm sure it will be a matter of months until we talk about him again and in his, in his passing. But certainly on this President's Day, worth noting the life that he's lived so far.
Absolutely.
All right. When we come back, women's sports, but like a long time ago. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Tell you one thing that Ron Johnson has done to support them. I don't understand that. I never will understand it. I know we've got conservative listeners, but I asked them to point to one thing that Ron Johnson has done to make their lives any better, and they can't point to any of it.
Conversations that hit home every day. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app. Signs winter may be ending in Wisconsin. The snow is melting. Robin's returning. And Milwaukee Brewers spring training games are underway.
Wow! What a finish to this one!
Oshkosh Air Support 98.3 FM and WISS 1100 AM is your place to catch every inning, every game, and every win.
Listen on your local civic media radio station, Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM and 98.3 FM.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy this afternoon with highs around 38. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Tonight, lows level off around 21. Overcast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 29. 8 to 14 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
I'm a peach.
Well, I was just wondering, because I couldn't figure out why you would throw home when we've got a two-run lead. You let the tying run get on second, and we lost the lead because of you. Now you start using your head. Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Why don't you leave her alone, Jimmy?
Oh, you zip it, Doris.
You zip it, Doris.
There's no crying in baseball.
There is no crying in baseball. I don't know if I ever cried in my, I think I cried in Little League. I think I got pegged in the back once that I certainly cried then, but I was nine. All right. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Metnair. And today, on this date in history, was the premiere of the All-American Girls Baseball League. It was formed with franchises in Kenosha and Racine.
Yes.
But, February 20th, and I was only six when A League of Their Own came out.
Oh, wow.
But I remember seeing that movie in theaters and loving it immediately. And I don't think I realized what a big deal that movie was, and certainly didn't understand in historical context right. what a big deal the All-American Girls Baseball League was. But what would... Like, did that, when that movie came out for you, was it, did it, like, because you were an adult, but right. like, did it make an impact on you at all?
Oh, definitely. I loved it. And two, that's a story I had never heard about.
Yeah.
Didn't even know that this had existed. And the other takeaway from this that is just completely catty. Rosie O'Donnell and Madonna overact in that movie so badly. It's hilarious. It's worth watching just for that. Rosie is terrible.
Is she? That's like one of her first breaks.
I know. And she's so, but she's so over the top.
Because at that point, she was just a comic, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And it's funny. Yeah, I probably should go back and watch it and for the performances. Because obviously, Gina Davis is excellent in
it. Oh, she's fabulous.
Tom Hanks is excellent yes. in it. But have you watched the new Amazon series?
I watched the first couple. And it was really interesting.
And I love, because you know, so Abby Jacobson, who's the creator of the show and stars in the show, she got Penny Marshall's blessing.
Because Penny directed the first film.
Because Penny directed the first film. And part of the conversation, and I do recommend watching the series, because the series really tries to tackle the stories that were not really... The public wasn't ready for those stories in 1992
because
with the movie.
Yeah, because they're more controversial.
Well, it was how many queer women played.
Yep.
How black women were not allowed to play.
To play.
And some of the more honest storylines. It's still a narrative. It's not a documentary. But as far as talking about that and talking about what the women who were drawn to play really were like. And I think often, so much as we're in this like era of so much television, that what a two-hour movie can't do, a 10-episode series can, yeah. Right? As far as like character development and storylines. And so, because I think that's really true, as if, instead of just kind of this like glossy, oh, girls, they let girls play baseball.
Wasn't that cute?
Instead of actually thinking about who they were as people and what this meant to them and what their lives were like before and what this opportunity meant. But the one thing that they did get right, though, is the uniforms.
At the end of practice today, you all have to get fitted for your uniform. And this is what they're going to look like.
Pretty darn nifty, if you ask me. How about that, Billy?
You can't slide, Matt.
I like it.
Hey, that's a dress.
It's half a dress.
Excuse me, that's not a baseball uniform.
Yeah, what do you think we are, ball players or ballerinas?
That's a short.
Short. I'm going to have to squat in that thing.
I can't wear that. My husband will kill me.
Ladies.
Excuse me, sir.
Ladies.
Excuse me.
If you can't play ball in this, you can't play ball with us. Right now, there are 38 girls getting train tickets home who'll play in a bathing suit if I ask them.
Oh, there's no pockets for my cigarette.
There is no smoking. There is also no drinking and no men. All of your social engagements will be cleared through your team chaperones. Plus, each of you will have regular classes at Charm and Beauty School.
For what?
What? Every girl in this league is going to be a lady.
And I'm pretty sure that was accurate.
Oh, I believe it was accurate.
And I'm pretty sure those same rules did not apply to the men who were playing professional baseball.
I would bet you are right.
Just we know what's best for you. So if you're going to do this,
here's how you're going to do it.
Here's how you can't smoke, you can't drink, you have a chaperone.
We're going to clear all your anything, you know, your calendar is now our calendar to dictate as we determine.
And yet, a lot of women played. And those it's interesting. This is on baseballhall.org that they have more information about everything that happened with that. And they have some of the old pictures of the real women.
Very cool.
And it is really, really cool as far as, you know, it's interesting that there is no professional baseball for women now. I mean, we have the WNBA, we have professional women's soccer.
Baseball never came back. Yeah, I don't know
but
why.
Unless I'm totally missing something that's just, I'm not aware of. But it is interesting to think that there's softball, but there's no
National baseball
for women. So, very interesting, but thought that was a feel-good history moment. But when we come back, Rich Smith from the 6th Street Theater over our head players is here. Can't wait to talk to him about the history of this place and all the times Jane was on stage. So stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Arielle Reshef. President Biden makes an unannounced visit to Ukraine nearly a year after the Russian invasion. Mr. Biden in the Ukrainian capital meeting with President Zelensky and other government officials. ABC's Patrick Reval is there.
The reaction from Ukrainians is, first of all, I have to say, surprised. They really were not expecting President Biden to appear here. But secondly, it has in general, when you speak to them, they are delighted. You know, they believe that this is a very strong show of support from the U.S. and coming at a time when they are particularly concerned about holding off Russia's new offensive in the east, but also getting the weapons necessary to try and launch a counteroffensive in the spring.
Mr. Biden will visit Warsaw, Poland tomorrow for a meeting with President Duda and leaders of 9 NATO countries. A fifth case of a confirmed HIV cure announced today by researchers in Germany. A 53-year-old man with no detectable virus after a stem cell transplant. He's been off medication for more than 4 years. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A memorial service is in the works for former University of Wisconsin-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank. During her time at the UW, she created full-ride scholarships for low-income students from Wisconsin and led the effort to enroll more out-of-state students. She died Friday from pancreatic cancer. Blank was 67. Republican lawmakers plan to craft their own state budget rather than work off the one Governor Evers proposed last week. They concede they'll have to increase spending, but will try to keep it lower than what the governor's proposing.
24% seems like a pretty excessive amount of spending. My guess is that in the end, we're not going to end up anywhere close to a 24% increase in spending.
That's Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green. He was on WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. In sports, Giannis Antetokounmpo is in New York to get his injured right wrist looked at. He hurt it last Thursday night. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
My fine guest, Maggie Dawn, attorney at law. I thought that the laws of the United States were supposed to evolve with societal norms. The vast majority of Americans, 70% approximately, believe that Roe v. Wade should be the law of the land. So that seems exactly contrary to the way the courts are supposed to evolve with our nation.
I'll just say this. The guy in Colorado can't be forced to make a gay wedding cake, but I can be forced to make a baby. I don't know about you, but that makes no damn sense to me.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Show business like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything that traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Medner. And we are so excited for our guest this half hour, Rich Smith, who is the Managing Artistic Director at Over Our Head Players. It's Over Our Head Players, but it's also the 6th Street Theater?
Yeah, so the 6th Street Theater is like a project of the Over Our Head Players. We got our own space. We grew up and just got our own theater, so we named it that, so people could find it.
Got it.
Because it's on 6th Street.
So it's on 6th Street. So Jane was strange. I had not heard of this. So I grew up in Madison.
All right.
Doing theater there. I am a theater kid.
Love it.
And Jane and I have a shared passion for the arts. We have a bucket list today now to do a play together.
Oh, let's do it.
With all of our extra free time that we have.
Oh, yes.
But eventually we want it. Yeah, so maybe you can help us find it, a two-person play that we can do together. But Jane was like, I want to get Rich Smith on because the story of Over Our Head Players is so great.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so why don't we just start with you telling the story?
Rich, get up on that mic for me, would you?
Sure. Can you hear me better now?
That's better.
Is this okay? Thank you very much for the Ethel Merman lead-in, by the way.
Of course.
Outstanding. So, it was like early 1980s, and we had a group of actors and comedians. We actually did comedy sports for a while in Racine and Milwaukee, and we wanted to do some theater, and I had done a couple of things with Janie at the Guild, and we had a friend who owned a bar, and we found a couple of plays, and we started doing theater in the bar, and we thought it would just be this one-time thing, and then it started selling out, and the bar's full, and the bar owner at the time loved it, you know, because he was making a lot of money on drinks, and our green room was upstairs, and backstage was actually in the bar itself. So they would close the bar, hang up curtains, and then open up the side room for the audience. And so when we left the stage, we would literally just be standing at the bar. And we would have drinks off stage, and you could smoke in the bar then. And so there were some really unique stories about missed entrances and things because we were busy doing other stuff. But
very serious actors. We were very, very serious, dedicated actors.
That's right. Yeah, Andy DeSalvo missed an entrance because he needed one more drag on his parliament before he won. But anyhow.
Because obviously this is a point where you could still smoke inside.
This was the 80s. Absolutely. Yeah, this is the 80s and early 90s.
So that went on for 7 years. We did that, and we didn't know what was going to become of it. And we just started saving our money, and we had a larger following. I was kind of going to school part-time to finish my theater degree at the time, and so we took the cash and started our own theater. So that's when we started the Sixth Street Theater, and that was 31 years ago already.
Oh my gosh, so,
wow.
Rich.
Yeah,
I mean, 31 years.
By. I know it. I got a picture of one of the first plays Janie did with us. I should have brought it in. Pictures don't show up too good on radio.
That's true.
Is it from Cheese Louise?
It was from Cheese Louise. Yeah, it was fun.
So, so what were the kind of plays you guys were, like, how would you choose... What were you doing Shakespeare? Were you doing like Tennessee Williams? Were you coming up with your own shows? Like what? How would you choose when it was still in the bar? Like what was like the criteria of shows you would put up?
Well, so Racine is so lucky. There's another theater on the other side of town, the Racine Theater Guild, that is just fantastic.
Yes.
And been there for a long time.
And that's where we met.
Right. We were in the Odd Couple female version together. And I wasn't one of the Odd Couple.
Cause I was going to say, wait, huh?
But I'm willing to do that if they ask me. But so we wanted to do things that complemented the other theater group in town because we were friends. You know, it wasn't like a competing thing. So we like to pick things that are a little more on the edge, I guess we like to say.
Okay.
You know, we're not going to shy away from language or subject matter. So we're kind of the off-Broadway. And we're built of mostly comedians. So we lean on that primarily. But we're not afraid to do drama once in a while. So we mix it up. And that's kind of how we choose our material.
But Over Our Head Players have also written their own material.
Oh yeah, we do a lot of original things too. Recently, we started doing the series. It's a series now, Kringle the Musical.
Okay.
So we wrote a musical about how Kringle came to Racine, and it went over great. So now we're writing Kringle the Musical Part 4 for next year. its working title is 7 Mile Fair Lady. So. We're going to see what happens. So we do original stuff. We have fun. We don't take ourselves too seriously. And we've just been fortunate enough to grow this great audience. Our theater only seats about 90 people. So when we do something like Snow Dance that really sells out, you know, we've got a... We do like 26, 27 performances, you know, just to get everybody in, you know, that we can before we say no, which is a great problem to have in the arts, you know, so we're fortunate, yeah.
And you're a nonprofit, you're a 501(c), right, Rich?
Correct, yeah.
So nobody's making, you've been doing this for 31 years since you opened the theater. I didn't see your Maserati outside.
No, I'm still driving a Volkswagen Beetle, Jane.
But we were talking before you came in. everyone does this because they love it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the wonderful thing about community theater, of course. But, you know, theater in general, people end up in theaters because they love it. No, I mean, very few of us get rich off of it, for sure.
And so I want to get back to that because listening to this story, it's like Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, I mean, really, it's not, that's the origin story of Steppenwolf in Chicago, is just a bunch of friends. And whenever I hear any of those, I mean, obviously some of those actors became very, very famous. Yes. But when they talk about how they started, it was just, they were all at, was it DePaul? That they were all at, in theater school, and they just started doing plays.
Yeah.
And they just started putting up, and they would gender, cross-gender and play different roles, and everyone wanted to play different characters, and it was just an opportunity to play the characters that you may not get cast in because you are the ones producing it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so, like, that so much reminds me of that story of just, like, choosing your own destiny by just taking the leap and saying, well, I don't care if we get paid, we're just going
to
do it.
Yeah, we compare ourselves to the Steppenwolf all the time. No, I'm kidding.
Am I wrong here as far as the origin story being similar?
It is similar. The energy comes from the same place, yes. And it's love of theater, and good things come from great energy. And we were lucky enough to have this great group of people, Jane included, early on, that just loved doing it, got along together, had fun, and it couldn't fail. So a beautiful thing came out of that beautiful energy, and it's still going on.
We laughed so much, and did. At least the few that I was able to do with Over Our Head Players, we did some of the silliest plays I've ever heard of in my entire life.
So let's hear some of those, because then I do want to get more into Snow Dance, because it's going on right now, but it's sold out, so people have to go next year. But I want to get to the origin story of that, but let's hear about some of the fun plays you were in.
Just a reminder, Rich Smith is our guest. He's with Over Our Head Players in the 6th Street Theater in Racine, just talking about the theater and the founding of the theater. And the first one I think I did with you guys, Rich, was Murder at the Howard Johnson's, right?
I think it was. And that play, actually, that was brand new when we did it. And it went on to, it's kind of a popular play now. It's like a dinner theater thing.
Oh, a standard. But, oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's Murder at the Howard Johnson's, about, you know, a guy who's going to murder his wife to get the money at the Howard Johnson's. That's act one. And then act two is it's in the same Howard Johnson's room where the guy's now getting murdered by the girlfriend he was leaving to go to the wife. I mean, it's just a twisted, goofy, fun story. Yeah, but yeah, I think that was it. Yeah, that was the first one.
The first one. And then the second one for sure was Cheese Louise.
Yes.
And we ended up doing that again because it was so popular. Yeah. And by far the silliest thing I have ever done in my entire life.
It was
so much fun.
What is the premise of Cheese Louise?
Rich, I'll let you explain that.
So Cheese Louise takes place in the Wisconsin Dells in the 1970s, where Augie and Louise own their own business. It's the Bump and Pump, which is a bumper car gas station combination.
Someone should create that business.
And a Chicago, a Flatlander, as they call him, dies on the bumper car machine, and so they're all in jail. And they have to figure out a way to raise money to get a lawyer and get out of jail. So they put on a variety show called the Bump and Pump-a-thon to raise money. And it's just goofy fun, just goofy Wisconsin fun. And it was such a blast. It was actually written by some people in Chicago, a theater group in Chicago called the Illegitimate Players. And we saw it down there in a little storefront theater back in the 80s and went to them and said, can we do this in Wisconsin? And they're like, oh yeah, take it. Do you need any money? No, we don't care. Just do it. So we
did. That's why all artists are poor.
Exactly. And yeah, so we've done that twice now, and Janie reprised the character Momo a couple times for us, and sold out the whole run, sold out each time. Yeah, it's fun.
Have you done it? You've done it both times. Are you going to bring it back ever?
We're talking about it actually for our 30th anniversary. Yeah,
really?
We're actually talking about it. Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like a great premise.
Yeah. The characters are all timeless and ageless, but you would have to say the Dells is so different now than it was in the 80s, you know, but you'd have stuff set it in the 70s, but that was great fun. Yeah.
And so with the it sounds like a lot of the shows are lesser known playwrights or originals.
Yeah.
And so, but what, as far as the actors who end up back then, today, is it equity? Is it just people who live in Racine and want to act? Or like who finds themselves in Over Our Head Players productions?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's primarily community theater. Okay. We, you know, the vast majority of us are volunteers. We started a program, like a stipend program, a few years ago, where we bring in artistic associates for each season. And that allows us to have some really talented people in our company committed to the season, not unlike what a repertory theater would do. And so that helps. So we've got this sort of hybrid of mostly volunteers, but, you know, a few talented people we can keep around and use. And that system works well for us. It's such a small space. We don't have huge dollars, you know, to do a whole lot with. So that's the way we run now. Yeah.
And so do people in the community, is there an open audition?
Absolutely. Yeah, we do an open audition for every show, and it's fantastic. We have new faces all the time. And community, I mean, I think everybody listening has probably got someone, you know, a daughter, a friend, or someone who's performed in community theater or theater in general, or they've been an audience member. I mean, it touches everyone. And when you think about the value to a community beyond, oh, sure, it's going to give us entertainment, a night out, somewhere to go see the guy next door play Hamlet or whatever. I don't know. You can look at it any way you want. But it also reaches out to people like you. Like you say, you're a theater kid, and people like Jane and people, whoever else, who might live in another community if they didn't have this opportunity for them as artists to go and perform. So absolutely, it's all about people in the community.
I would have kept performing or at least auditioning for Over Our Head Players, Rich. It just became geographically impossible.
Oh, it was awful. Yeah.
You know, I was working really early mornings and...